With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
What are you reading over there?
Florentine pancakes.
Oh, what are you reading?
Top 25 Italian dishes that one must try.
Top 25 Italian dishes.
Yeah, roast lamb with salsa verde.
That's good.
How about spinach rocchetta cannelloni?
You know, none of this is an act because Yurko just spent the last 2 minutes reading that out loud to himself. None of us in the room responded to him. He was just saying it out loud. Until Carm mentioned it when we came back.
Roast
chicken. What the hell was that, Yurk? What were you doing? Ham.
I'm sitting here reading in Italian, and only my best Italian that I can get.
Oh, yeah,
you.
That was your best?
That's your best.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the front at the beginning of it to let you know exactly what it was titled when I started reading
it. It was 2 solid minutes of you doing that.
Yeah, 45 game-changing Italian dishes.
45?
You need to try at home, Carm.
That's a lot.
And a lot of this you have taught me.
Yeah.
Wild mushroom lasagna, cacio e pepe. Spaghetti carbonara. You know what I'm saying, Carmen? Yeah. It's all the stuff you've taught me.
Right.
And I've been trying to work with. Spaghetti bolognese, slow-cooked bolognese. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know what beef shin ragu is.
Beef shin ragu.
I don't think I've ever had beef shin. I've had a lot of parts of the cow.
The shin of beef, is it meaty? I'm not familiar.
I don't know. You got me on that one. I've had a lot of different cuts of the cow. I've never had beef shin. I've had beef cheek.
Ganache.
I've had beef tongue.
Carm, ganache with truffle butter.
Gnocchi with truffle butter.
It's got to be delicious.
How
about pistachio mortadella lasagna?
Hold on. Thank you for Carm being here to give us gnocchi, because ganache, I had no idea what you were saying.
That's delicious.
Ganache.
If you never gnocchi. Had fresh ganache, no, you have nobody, not lived.
He's definitely never had fresh ganache. He's had fresh gnocchi before, yeah.
Mushroom pappardelle.
I like mushroom pappardelle. That's good. Yeah.
Tomato focaccia.
That's simple.
Yeah. Well, I'm just...
They want you to make that at home, though?
Breadsticks?
Yeah.
Focaccia breadsticks?
No, that's chicken parm right there.
All right, can we...
If you're ready to go on, I mean, I'm just giving you... I'm speaking Italian. Bruschetta with tomato.
Bruschetta!
See, that's Italian. Now, if you'd ever make this, I'd be a happy camper.
If I never make it?
No, if you ever make this,
all right.
God forbid.
Let's hear it.
Mushroom arancini.
Oh, yeah? Just arancini with little stuff, with little mushrooms in there?
Little mushroom, some peas.
I love arancini.
Cheese.
Love it.
Mushroom. Peas.
How do you not love a fried rice ball?
I mean,
stuffed
who doesn't?
With goodness, like
who
meat
doesn't?
And cheese
yes.
And mushrooms.
Peas.
Oh, my. And peas.
Oh,
my God. I
are
love
you kidding
arancini.
Me?
Oh.
Can you make
You're
that?
Making me hungry now. I've never made arancini. I mean, could I? Sure, I could.
Your
never
mom.
Made it.
Your mom, your grandmother.
My grandma
make
would make
arancini?
It. Yeah, my grandma would make it.
Special day? A special day?
Definitely not something that
not
was made
week.
Often. It's a little laborious, like slightly.
Like delivering you. A little
laborious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Raising me, probably. More laborious than delivering me.
You don't think you can't like make that for your mom or your dad one day as a nice special dinner?
Yeah, maybe I will. I've never made it, honestly.
Right.
But it, you know.
Let's get back to the old football rule,
okay.
Huh? Why don't we do that? Boy, the basketball, football. It's
yeah,
the
I
top
talk
of the
some
hour.
Hoops. I want to talk some hoops in a little bit
it's
with you.
It's the top of the hour, and you start us with Italian food.
I started?
Come on.
I want to talk some hoops
Where's
with you in
discipline?
A minute.
Where's the discipline?
Tomorrow there will be another press conference, Bears related, not football ops, business ops, Yurk.
Okay.
The Bears have set a noon Wednesday press conference to announce plans for a new dome stadium on the lakefront. Team officials will make the announcement at Soldier Field, which will be demolished under the proposal. And what will be a busy week for the team, the announcement comes one day before the Bears make the top pick in the NFL draft. The team said its plans to present a, quote, state-of-the-art, publicly owned and closed stadium along with additional green and open space with access to the lakefront for families and fans on the museum campus, close quote, The team has pledged $2 billion in private money for the project. The cost of the stadium is estimated at $2.5 to $3 billion. Where are you building a stadium for $2.5 billion? Get out of here.
Nowhere.
Plus $1 billion for associated roads and other infrastructure. Yeah, you're full of it.
It's another billion. So that's $3.5 is what
you're
they're saying.
You're talking $4 billion easy. They want to pay
cost
for half.
Cost overruns, some of the dragging of the feet that goes on to make sure the project lasts for another year.
They want to pay for half.
$4.5 million, $5 million.
They want to stick the taxpayers, us, with the other half.
Right in the kazoo.
Yep.
Yeah.
The crucial question is how any taxpayer cost will be funded and whether the city and state lawmakers would approve that. Taxpayers were still on the hook for $631 million of Soldier Field debt as of last year. Oh, yeah, we're still on the hook for that.
Yeah, still on the hook for basically the whole cost.
During an unrelated news conference Wednesday, Mayor Brandon Johnson again said, quote, ownership has to put some skin in the game, close quote. They say they have with their $2 billion investment. When asked about the ongoing jockeying for new stadiums by the Bears as well as the White Sox, he maintained there would be no new taxes to help out the franchises. There's, like Yurko says, the devil's in the details.
What does that mean? That's crap.
They'll just continue the existing tax.
Yeah. No taxes.
No taxes.
Zero taxes.
Let's see how simply we can put it, Yurko. No taxes.
Zero taxes. Don't put the word new in there.
Do not tread on me.
Yeah. Thank you very kindly, Carm. Stay out of our
taxation
pockets.
Without representation.
I mean, you got enough. You taxed weed and gambling until the cows come home.
What the hell's going on? You know what I saw like randomly pop up in my Instagram feed?
What popped up?
Somebody did a funny reel. Like going back to when was the parking fiasco?
2008. 2008. That's when Mayor Daley sold the city down the river.
I mean, right down the river.
Yeah. He had a budget shortfall. He goes, how can I screw the city over? Oh, here's how I can do it.
And they've already made, there's about 60 years left on
the lease. Yeah.
And they've already made like $150 million.
They've made out like bandits. Yes, they've made out like bandits. And the other thing they sold was the Skyway. Hold on, they sold the Skyway. You take a trip on the Skyway lately?
Yeah.
You know what it costs?
Yeah.
There's 60 years left.
To put our faith in anybody in government, in this city, in this county.
That Dick Daley. Precious. I mean,
so Mayor Johnson's like, oh, no, there will be no new taxes. How about no taxes?
Yeah, period.
God, I hope this goes to a vote.
Zero taxes.
I hope it goes to a vote. I hope we do what the fine folks of Kansas City did.
Say no.
Say no.
Just say no.
Do you think, like, I mean, Bobby Witt's got to be a happy camper, right? Like, he signed that deal. He only got that deal because that proposal was on the ballot.
Right. So they said, look, we're making a commitment to the team.
And, like, Bobby Witt's got to be like, dude, do you think, like, his agency found out about it? Like, listen, the voters are going to vote no. Well, Sign this deal right now.
And then here's what happens with that no vote. And if they tried there's always the back door.
You know what I'm saying?
It's mostly how politics end up getting done anyway. The back room, through the back door. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's how
it ends up. Secret deals, handshake deals, midnight, that kind of thing. If that doesn't work in Kansas City, guess where Bobby Witt's going to become? New York Yankee. That's what's going to happen. You understand what's going on? He's going to be a Dodger. He's going to be on a club that can afford that contract, not Kansas City.
He's got to be like, well, at least I signed it. I got this money. Wow.
And the ownership in Kansas City will go, well, you didn't approve the deal. Why should we invest in the team if you guys aren't willing to invest in us? You know the crap.
Unbelievable.
That they try to sell. You know what I'm saying?
I still don't get how the lakefront works. I do understand what Kevin Warren has continued to say and assert about the land and how aesthetically pleasing the surrounding area is. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. It is beautiful.
No new construction on the lake.
Well, and that's the other thing. Yeah,
by George Lucas.
About. Yeah, right. What is George Lucas
thinking?
And just
because you're giving one back, and you're building somewhere else, and you're going to convert that building, which you still own $681 million on.
Right.
$681 million you still owe.
What happens, Yurk, when if they tear that down? What, I'm you know, like the old Dennis Miller bit. Dennis Miller's got a great bit where he's like, you know, the deficit. He goes, boy, you don't want to seem like you're uneducated. But he goes, I don't even know what that is. Do we owe somebody that money? It's a funny bit. Like, I'm serious. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know. What happens to that debt if they knock down Soldier Field?
Still got
to
get paid.
Is that debt?
It's not erased.
Yeah, we got to. Somebody owes that money still?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at you.
Sweet Jesus.
You're a Cook County resident, aren't you?
I'm a Cook County resident.
Yeah, I'm looking at you.
Am I still paying that?
Oh, yeah.
On top of something new? Get out of town.
Yes, Carmen. Yes.
Could this be? I still don't understand how it's even logistically feasible for what they want to do. Now, Kevin Warren's right. When you see the videos on Sunday night football or Monday night football or Thursday night football, it's gorgeous. We have a big Grant Park is beautiful. The lake, the skyline, it's gorgeous. It still doesn't make any sense to me.
By the way, all those pictures emanate from the current existing structure.
Yes, they do. Good point.
You don't need a new structure for that to happen.
Amen. Amen to that. I still don't get it.
But you know how Illinois politics work. Unless they want to screw you over, then they set up Blago the way they did.
He did it to himself.
There were other parties involved, Carm.
That's true.
Can't just be one guy being the bad guy. There were a lot of parties involved in that one.
You're shaking down a children's hospital for crying out
loud. Only Blago paid the price.
Well, maybe a few others, right?
Tony Rezko. Maybe.
I think Tony.
Yeah. He was the sacrificial lamb.
I'll keep it to myself, Chris.
Hey, he's the sacrificial lamb that protected everybody else.
I didn't say anything. Doll's off today. I didn't say anything.
I don't know. So I'm interested tomorrow.
That joke's for like four of us.
It's for about four of us, but it's funny anyway. It's a very inside joke. Like Waddle and Sylvie were joking yesterday. Sylvie was saying he's a sucker for renderings. I am too. I'm a sucker for some good renderings.
Of course you are.
I don't know what the hell they're thinking building south of where
fancy
they are
pictures.
Now. But I'm going to be a sucker for some fancy pictures.
Fancy pictures, some fireworks. But yeah. I'll draw you guys right in.
And now Yurko's telling me.
You're like a salmon down by the warm water discharge.
Right.
Boom, just bring it in.
Yurko's telling me we still got to pay the $630 million on the old bonds.
681, Carm.
681.
681.
Where's Mark Gannis when we need him? Call him up.
Where does it go? It disappears, Mark, like a fart in the wind. It doesn't disappear, Carm. Still on the arm, along with all the new stuff they're going to want you guys to pay.
Oh, Chef Max, by the way, checks in. Chef Max Robbins, who's the culinary director for Lettuce. Beef shin is actually beef shank. I don't think I knew
that. I did
that.
Not
well,
know that.
Well, there you go. I've had beef shank, sure.
Of course we've had.
Thank you, Chef.
Beef shank, there
See,
we go.
See, that's why he's chef. That's why, you know.
Because they know.
Yes, yes, Chef.
They know. By the way, later on, I went through that list.
Around, Max, we have to say yes. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Ask him what we do with the debt. Ask him that. See if he knows that.
What the debt? Ask him what do we do with $681 million.
Okay.
Ask him what do we do with $681 million.
What do you know, Chef? What about the $681 million in debt, Chef?
On Soldier Field. Does it just disappear like the stadium?
I hope he's still listening.
No, of course not.
Beef shin is beef shank. Well, there you go.
How did I not know that?
I don't know why you didn't know. But I saw Osobuco later.
I love Osobuco.
Osobuco.
My heavens, it's delicious.
Do you like oxtail? You strike me as a guy that would like oxtail.
I do too.
My mom made oxtail all the time when we were kids.
I bet it was great.
Didn't know it was oxtail, but it was delicious. She made it with greens and with... what's the little one? Risotto. Not the little rice thing ball. Little rice ball.
Not rice.
Pastina?
Like pastina?
Yeah.
I bet that was good.
Yeah. I bet it was real good.
A little potato in there.
All right. We got a lot of Bears Stadium calls, some draft stuff. We'll grab some more calls. We'll do the lunch rush. We will get into some of the NBA drama from last night. The last two games really were thrilling. Like Yurko always says, this is why he loves this type of basketball come springtime, playoff basketball, the intensity. The rallies last night, some of the reffing issues, though, I think we still have to discuss. So we'll do all that. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, so Chef Max does have an idea for the debt, Yurko. Just write it off. It's a write-off.
Oh, just write it off.
Like in Seinfeld. Jerry, these big companies, they write off everything.
They do.
Write it off what? They write it off.
Yeah, write
just
it off.
Just write it off.
Well, you remember ABC Radio back in the day, like when they had that initial Bulls deal, the 10-year contract that they signed in like 97 or 98, before I was ever a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
ABC Radio at the time wrote off that debt.
They just wrote it off?
They wrote it off. Not only did they write it off once, they wrote it off again. They like writing it off
Max
so much.
Right. Just,
they did it a second time. Just write it off.
Just keep writing it off.
The hell with it.
Do you know, by the way, we brought it up last week.
I don't even know what write it off means.
I don't either. I don't know what
any of it. Some fancy accountant out there could tell us what it means.
I'm telling you, like when they talk about the debt and this and the, I'm like, wait, we got to pay that?
So maybe what they do is they write it off against future whatever. It's an accounting thing where they write it off against future profits.
I don't know. That makes sense.
I don't know. I don't know. That's a guess from me.
Do you remember last week when we saw the story break about Oberweis Dairy?
Yeah.
Filing for, boy, yeah. The kids in town are...
Tears in their
you
eyes.
You want to talk about a group of kids who know nothing about anything? Like, what do they know about bankruptcy? Yeah. And they're like, Oberweis is going to close. I'm like, it's not going to close.
Oh, they're reorganizing their debt.
And they're like, but Dad, it's going to close.
It's going to close.
They're in bankruptcy. There I said, Oberweis... is not closing.
That raspberry black cherry's going right down the tubes.
I hope it doesn't close. We love Oberweis.
Yeah, they got some nice ice cream.
We got one on the corner. I mean, we're there all the time.
I believe there's one in Schererville, if I'm not mistaken, right by Albert's Jewelers over there.
Yeah?
They got a nice one, Oberweis, yeah.
Delicious.
Like, top notch.
We were there. I was there last week with my kids. I mean, we're there constantly in the summer.
They're reorganizing their debt. They should utilize us.
But every kid in town.
To help get the positive message. We're just reorganizing the debt.
We're not closing. Every kid in town heard they filed for bankruptcy. So, their kids, I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, there goes Oberweis.
Yep.
Yurko's like, no, they're just reorganizing their debt.
What are you doing? They're reorganizing debt.
And so I use that term to sound smart. I'm like, well, you know, they're just reorganizing their debt. I just parroted what you said, Yurko. Like,
chapter 13, yeah. Chapter 11, chapter 7 or 8.
It's fine, kids.
All types of different chapters.
They're reorganizing their debt. Oh, what does that mean, Dad? It means... they're reorganizing their debt.
Yeah.
Yes, but what does that mean? It means talk to your uncle.
Yeah.
Who's an accountant.
Talk to Uncle Rico.
Talk to Uncle Louie.
He's going to throw a football over a mug for
you. Talk to Uncle Rico. Brian is in Yorkville. What's up, Brian?
Yorkville!
Hey, guys.
What's up, Brian?
Quick question. Are we going to then, if they build the stadium on the lakefront, then are we going to expect Caleb Williams and the rest of the team to play in Urbana for 4 years?
No, they'll play. They still got the lead. Well,
no, they got the lead till 31.
They'll knock down Soldier Field at the end when the new stadium's open.
When the new stadium is built, then they'll go knock it down. It's easier to knock down than it is to build up.
Yeah, that's where they're going to play, Brian.
All right, I'm glad he asked that question because look at the plans that have been suggested on where they're going to build this. Game day, where is anyone going to go for any of
them? That's the last thing they care
about. If they're building on the Waldron deck in the south lot, there will be no parking for those games.
Yeah, and then all your construction equipment. All your trailers for the construction guys.
Trailers.
They got to get in there. You got to have like 12 trailers over there.
They want to do construction on all the roads down there. So in and out of game day for like 3.5-4 years, what is that going to be like?
It's already brutal. Can you imagine adding a project where you're building a 75,000 seat dome
you're
stadium?
You're building the Tunnel of Love.
And hosting games.
You got tunnels everywhere, in and out, going
There's
on
no
there.
Way. Good luck.
They plan the same field as Northwestern, that little hamlet of a field by the lakefront up there.
Just borrow that one.
Yeah, 12,000 people.
Great. Teofilo's in Elgin, our uncle. What's up, Teofilo?
Hello, how you guys doing? We're enjoy great. The show very much.
Thank you, Tio.
I'm going to change it up a little bit. Last night, the Lakers, LeBron James, and there's always a comparison with LeBron James and Michael Jordan. The difference is LeBron, he'll take a jump shot. Michael Jordan, he'll drive to the basket. Either he'll make the basket or he'll get fouled. That's the difference.
LeBron had a good look at that three, but I know what you're talking about. He missed that three. Had a really good look at it last night.
Jordan would have drove to the lane, you know. Another thing, I love the guys talking about Italian food. I love to eat myself. Have you guys ever tried lip tacos?
I have not. I've had tongue.
What's a lip taco?
I've had tongue. I've had beef cheek, but never lips.
Yeah, lips. The lip of the cow, they boil it. And then, you know, you can put that, you know, cebolla, cilantro, and they only sell them in L.A.
Is that only sell them in L.A.? I was going to, T.O., thanks, buddy. I don't think I've ever seen that on a menu around here. You see plenty of beef cheek. You see plenty of beef tongue. I've never seen lips.
L.A. Times, beef lip tacos.
Yeah, I don't know if I want lips.
I'm telling you.
I don't know, but I mean, what's the difference?
I've never had it. I've never had it. I've had cow brain before.
I wouldn't eat
that. Not bad. Looks like macaroni and cheese.
Good for you. That's adventurous. I can't do it.
I didn't know I was eating it. My mom surprised us with it. When mom cooks it for you, you got to trust her, right?
Ooh.
Next thing you know, I look in the garbage and I see the package cow brains. I said, Mom, what are you doing to us?
Yeah, that's rough.
Mom, I don't care how inexpensive it was. I'll go get a loan.
I can't do it. Go get a loan.
I'm going to bank again. First State of Hegwish. I'm going to First State of Hegwish.
I can't do it. Not the brains.
God.
Viking Scott's in Crown Point. What up, Scotty?
Scotty.
Gentlemen, I know you talked about it last week. Golf invites come from my buddy after June 1st when he gets back from Naples. And you guys are on the list. Whatever you did. He kept you on the list for this year. So.
I like that.
Beautiful.
Just another little quick thing. I'll be heading to Kansas City a little bit more. The youngest daughter just got an offer. She's going to work as an engineer for the Chiefs.
No kidding. You're going to have two kids working in the Chiefs organization?
What is she going to run?
Yeah, she was at the Super Bowl with her sister. Got to meet the guy that's in charge of that department. They brought her out for an interview, and we're moving her down there in 2 weeks.
Wow. Is she in stadium operations?
She'll handle it. Her game day job will be that where you sit in that little box in the stadium with a view of the game. But you know how you get that little scan thing where you scan if you got trouble in your section or all that?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And she'll know the facility, and then she shoots the people out to that, whatever's going on.
Wow. All right, good for the kid.
Like a director.
Mom did something right, I'll tell you. Jeez.
She obviously did, because Dad doesn't have much to add to it other than that couple minutes of fun. But regarding the quarterback situation here in the draft, everybody thinks the Vikings are trading up. I think McCarthy may fall. I think the only way they'll kind of mortgage a little bit of the future is if May is available for a team that might open up, whether it be New England or maybe the Chargers at five. But if it's not, from my sources inside my connections with the Vikings, and I don't have any personal connections, but just hearing everything that's going on, they really would like May, and that's the only way they're going to trade up. Mm. And my only other advice to everybody, don't believe this Michael Penix hype. He throws three quarters. He's coming off, you know, he's got the injury history. Him and Bo Nix are both already 24 years old. So one of my favorite plays with this drafting is Penix over 32, meaning he's going to go in the second round.
Second round, yep. Scotty, thanks, buddy. I also agree with...
Do you know who his connection is up there in Minnesota, his deep source? The Viking in the stands. Ragnar, is that his name?
No, it's Frank Ragnar. What is his name? Ragnar, right?
Ragnar? That's his connection up there.
Nice connection.
Ragnar's giving me the news. And you said a couple minutes of fun. They called you lickety-split for a reason, champ. 15 seconds of action and it was over.
No.
I think he meant Scott. I know what he meant. No, he meant a couple minutes of fun, and that's what he meant.
No, I think he meant all he was good for raising the kids was giving them fun moments.
I think he meant all he was good for was the couple of minutes. It was a couple seconds.
Oh, all right.
Yes, and I called him lickety split, which meant it took 15 seconds.
Lickety split, real nice. It's one of your oldest friends.
Yes.
Lickety-split.
Very comfortable. He could take it. Pat. He can dish the abuse out. And he could take it. By God, I swear to you, Crown Point.
Back to the NWI. What's up, Northwest Indiana?
Very popular today.
A question for you. When the Bears renovated Soldier Field, I thought they had to keep the columns for some type of historical protection. That's why they landed the spaceship on top of it.
Yeah.
So can they tear it down?
They took the protection off the columns.
The government took the protection off of
once
the stadium.
Once they landed the spaceship on top of them, they said, well, this looks ridiculous.
It is no longer a registered historical place. Is that right?
Yeah, they destroyed it. The Bears have destroyed it.
Yeah, and so they can knock it down. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah.
They were just trying to get I was reading a story in the last couple of weeks here on that, York, they were trying, like, at the last minute to get a building here locally designated so that it couldn't be torn down for a new club. It was the first building that went up, I guess, after the fire.
Oh.
And it's on the corner of Chicago Avenue and Wells.
Chicago and Wells.
And it was, like, the first building, or it had some designation, and a group of local residents was trying to fight to keep it.
Yeah.
It was historic significance.
Yeah. You know, post Great Chicago Fire, obviously.
Right,
is
right.
We're talking about 1871.
Mrs. O'Leary's cow.
Do I have it right, York?
She tipped over that lantern.
And I was just reading about that, and they were trying to get somebody to, like lean on somebody to give it landmark status so that they could knock it down. Because when you have that status, you can't. But Soldier is no longer in that, on that list of the National Historic Places, I guess. Is that right? The landmark status because of the remodel. They were like, no, this isn't the original.
Once they did that, they said, well, this isn't. There's nothing historic about this. This looks like garbage. And, the company that had to put that spaceship in the middle of those columns, that was one hell of a trick they were trying to do.
Yeah.
I mean, they did it because that's what they were tasked to do. That was their job. They couldn't help what it looked like. It looked like a ragtag, slap it together piece of whatever. Nothing historic about that place now.
No. You know, it was also at the time, York, we were, as a society, we were all still of the belief that you need open air stadiums.
Oh, yeah,
like,
right.
Think back,
yes,
like,
you're right, Chris.
That was the other thing. There was a major pushback at any recommendation that they would put a dome at Soldier Field where the Bears play. Yep. We need bear weather.
I have been consistent. It snowed. If you're going to put something up, and even back in 2001 when we were deciding upon this, that you need something to bring March Madness here. And you can't have March Madness without a roof.
Yep.
I have been consistent over my 20-plus years on the radio that I want a roof.
Yeah. But like back then, when that happened, it wasn't as obvious that you could land Final Fours.
You never thought
we'd
get
stuff.
A Super Bowl back then.
Yeah, right.
Now,
that too, yeah.
You know, and even an outdoor stadium, I guess.
Though.
But now you'll
there's
get
a greater
one.
Belief that you can, but not
back then
with
it was
an open roof.
Well, even then,
because New York did. New York did, Indianapolis did. It was wonderfully warm, but they had a roof over their stadium.
But I'm just saying,
if they wanted to open it up, they could have.
Back then, the Super Bowl was in a few southern locales, California, and that's really about it. So Chris is right. The attitude has definitely changed. Here was the story, real quick, York. Preservationists are seeking an 11th-hour reprieve for a historic 152-year-old River North building facing demolition. The 3.5-story brick and cast iron building at 720 North Wells, so just south of Chicago, forgive me, at 720 North Wells, which rose from the ashes of the Great Chicago Fire with the 7th permit issued during the city's rebuilding, is set to fall to a wrecking ball within days for redevelopment. This is one of the first buildings in the River North community that was built after the fire. Sort of representing the city that burned, said Ward Miller, executive director of Preservation Chicago. It's just tragic to see it come down. There are so few of these buildings dating back to that period still remaining. I don't know what ever happened to that. I saw this last month. I think it was, when did I read this? This was earlier this month, April 10th. It might already be gone.
It might be gone.
And when I look at the picture of it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I've seen that building. I've been by that one. 3.5-story, small building, obviously built in the 1870s, but one of the first to rise after the fire. Yeah. So it is kind of sad when those go. Coming up next, we're going to do the Lunch Rush. We'll take more of your calls as well. And we'll sneak in some NBA talk from last night because it was thrilling. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Murray makes a move. Here's a The Nuggets have won!
There's the argument for not calling timeout. Denver did not call. Right, Denver had a timeout, I believe.
They did. Yeah, it was off a miss right by the Lakers.
Yeah.
They got the rebound. They got up in the front court, and it looked like they were taking all day. I go, do they realize there's no time on this clock? Do they realize this thing is running down? It looks so relaxed and lackadaisical. But they ended up getting it done.
A tough shot over a great defender in Anthony Davis. 14 fourth quarter points for Jamal Murray. 14, Yurko. Joker had 7, 5, and 4 in the fourth. That's just a
14 of his 20, right?
Yeah, I think he had 20. He had a quiet game.
Every 3-point shot he took.
Did he miss every one of them?
Every
I don't think
one
I
of
realized
them.
That
every one of the 3-point shots he took, he missed.
If the Lakers,
they kept feeding him.
It's 10 straight losses now. If you couldn't do it last night, I just don't know how you're going to do it. I mean, you played so well. AD ran out of gas, I think. I mean, he didn't score, but he took one shot in the fourth quarter. Didn't score a point. No free throw attempts. No field goals made. one shot attempt. That was it. And LeBron did a lot of the heavy lifting. I get it. Yeah. But, like, I think AD got a little bit gassed. He was incredible.
He was
the first
14
two and a half
15
quarters.
At one point.
Yes, he was.
He's 14 of 15. He finished 14 of 19.
And they had a 20-point lead. If you can't beat him right then and
71-51,
there.
71-51, I believe, right? 71-51.
That might have been the high watermark.
Third
yeah.
quarter. And then they whittled it down to 10 going into the fourth. And then they were just there. They would not go away.
I want to play this LeBron real quick, and then we'll segue. This is a good way to maybe even just start the lunch rush. I want to play this. This was a frustrated LeBron last night. Again, I mean, they had it in their grasps. They would have evened up the series. They would have, you know, stolen one on the road. It's a brutal loss at the buzzer like that. This was LeBron after the game.
LeBron, over the next 48 hours when you're looking at film and getting ready for that game Thursday, what's the challenge mentally and emotionally after you lose such a heartbreaking game?
I mean, yeah, of course it's a heartbreaking game. You don't ever want to lose in that fashion. I don't understand what the I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year, whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f*** do we have a replay center if this is going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. I'm sorry I didn't answer your question, but that is like. And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers Nick game too. What are we doing?
LeBron got up and walked off, and he said, "Sorry I didn't answer your question." Yeah. He certainly didn't. He obviously wanted to vent his frustration on that. Now, the play in which he refers happened midway through the third quarter, right. Maybe late in the third quarter.
It was still bothersome. The ball got out. D'Angelo Russell let the ball go. In the follow-through, the defender, he doesn't follow him until he smacks him in the face. And then I heard Reggie Miller say, well, the ball is gone. There's no foul on that. And then he hits him in the face. And then Reggie Miller goes, there's no foul there. I go, wait a minute. Can't just go around smacking people in the face.
I'm with you. I was confused by that.
Oh, yeah, unless they change something that I'm unfamiliar with.
I was confused by Scott. I think it was Scott Foster, right? It was Scott Foster's, and forgive me, I don't remember it verbatim. I mean, this was late last night. I was watching the game. He said something to the effect of the contact. How did he put it? It was like the contact was inconsequential
to the shot.
To the shot.
Yeah, that's certainly that happens.
Wow,
because
man, you get hit in the face. It seems like a foul to me. I don't know. Am I wrong, Chris? I mean,
that's like taking the shot and getting bowled over into the stands. Well, it had nothing to do with the shot and the bowling over into the stands.
But Reggie
matter.
Miller was not, it with your
Miller was on it.
I'm not saying you guys are wrong. I will say it's been refreshing in the last few days. That the officials are not calling everything a foul. Yeah. It does feel like the intensity has been turned up a notch here in the playoffs, but also the officials have kind of stepped back and said, you guys figure it out. And it's happened quite a few times.
This is the general theme since the All-Star break. I guess you're right. And look, and I'm not, you know, LeBron was obviously frustrated. To single out that play in the third quarter in a game in which you blew a 20-point lead and lost at the buzzer.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for the Lakers or LeBron or anything like that. I'm not saying that cost them the game. I get where he's coming from, why a player might be frustrated. Like, what are we doing in the replay booth if we're going to try to do this right? But I think overall, his reaction, AD's curt and brief truncated post-game press conference and the way he kind of stormed off, I think it speaks volumes about how devastating that loss was, because they went from stealing home court from the defending champs and maybe having a shot, and it was still going to be tough, to absolutely not having a shot. Just like that. And they might be... I've got my issues with Minnesota. I don't love Minnesota. I don't mean the town. I mean the team.
The team.
I don't mean the state. I mean the team.
Right, the team.
I like Oklahoma City a lot, but they're very young. Like,
they're youthful.
The Lakers still, when everything's right, when LeBron and AD are on the floor and healthy, they still could be the best team, the second best team in the West.
They have no depth, though.
They don't.
Like, and that's why... That's why you watch them against Denver, and it's not a surprise that they, at the end of the game, look like they're completely exhausted. On empty. Because they have 3 to 4 really good players, and then they have zero depth behind that line.
They don't.
And teams like Denver that are very deep, younger, and their stars are younger, they're going to get them every time. It's just like they're talking at the end of the game last night. AD looked exhausted. LeBron was exhausted. I mean, they're giving it their all.
They are.
I disagree that they could be the second best team because there's so many younger, deeper teams in the West right now. And, like, that's what got Golden State. Golden State's not deep either. They got stars at the top.
I just don't like. I think the Timberwolves are good for some sort of weird implosion with the way they're built. I don't know. I've never been a big Gobert postseason fan. Maybe you're right, Chris. OKC to me is probably still a little bit too young, although they are a team that's young, that can stretch its rotation a little bit. Who am I forgetting then? Dallas had a weird game. I think Dallas is good. They just played awful the other day. They played awful. I think they'll respond and play better tonight.
You hope.
Clippers, I don't know what to think because James Harden won't play quite as well as he did the other night. And Kawhi, your guess is as good as mine.
But they're a deep team.
But they are deep.
And I think that's what helps, especially at this point in the playoffs.
Like, the way they can bring Russ off the bench. Like that's added value, quite frankly, that a lot of teams can't.
Yeah.
Match. That's a good point. But, man, that's devastating for the Lakers. They did give it their all. Yurko and I said this a lot last year. This is the weirdest 6 games I can remember where Denver's won the last 6 playoff games, and they've all been fabulous.
Yeah, great games.
They've all been incredible.
Great games. And anytime LeBron James is crying at the end of the game,
you like it?
I like that better. I like that even better.
It was,
I agree.
It was terrific.
Yeah.
And then you know, we'll save the lunch rush for a few minutes. The end of the Knick game, you talk about a team playing its heart out. Joel Embiid's out playing on one leg.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can see it. He's not faking anything, folks. Joel Embiid dropped like 35 on one leg.
Yeah. 29 shots.
Yeah, I know. It's not very efficient.
29 shots. A lot of shots.
He's on one leg. Tyrese Maxey was questionable because he was sick at shoot-around yesterday morning. He dropped 34. They played their asses off.
51 shots between the two of them.
Yeah.
They made 24, 12 apiece.
That's 69.
Again, box score not in front of me. This is my commitment to the NBA basketball.
What was the final score of that game?
Well, I think it was a 3-point spread.
No, it was 104-101. It felt good, didn't it?
3-point spread,
yeah, like some defense, some grind in the fourth.
It was a great game.
Like, that was a fun game.
I mean, it was great.
My favorite series right now. I know Lakers Nuggets is good, but... I really enjoy watching this Knicks and 76ers battle.
And Jalen hasn't even gotten going. Jalen's been terrible shooting
the basketball.
That
dude's awesome.
He is awesome. I love him. I'm not trying to rip Jalen. I mean, I'm just saying they're up 2-0, and Jalen has shot, like, he's shooting 30% from the floor.
He's on the bus.
That's incredible. Bus. Hartenstein's effort was amazing last night. The block he had on Maxey late here. Listen to the last 50 seconds, because it was incredible last night.
The one possession game.
Sixers out of timeouts.
Yeah, listen, if it's me, if he makes this free throw, I'm taking a foul coming up the floor. I'm not going to give him a chance to get off the three.
Sixers down 3. Maxey with 2, with 1. Embiid's going to have to put it up for the tie. Oh, he missed it, and that's the ball game. A flurry at the end of game 2 for the Knicks, and they win it 104-101 and take a 2-0 lead in this series. One last prayer for Embiid. The Knicks score 8 straight points in 27 seconds.
8 straight in 27
seconds.
It had to feel good for the Knicks fans who remember the horror of Reggie Miller going off. Remember that, Yurko? they were on the better side of it last night. I mean, that flurry was crazy. Nick Nurse was trying to call timeout. Didn't get it. He tried twice. Maybe wasn't emphatic enough. The ref at midcourt's looking right down. He's looking right at him. Now, I get it. He's trying to keep his eye on the three-point shooter and where the three-point shooter's feet are. But Nick Nurse is showing him, timeout, timeout. This was Nick Nurse after the game.
Well, the first thing is, obviously, they score. We take a look at getting it in quick. We don't get it in quick. I call timeout. Referee looked right at me, ignored me. Went into Tyrese. I called timeout again. Then the melee started, and yeah, I mean, I don't know, I guess I got to run out onto the floor or do something to make sure and get his attention, but I needed a timeout there to advance it. Would have been good, but couldn't get it. There was no time to talk about it. Matt, you can ask him if you want to. See if he saw me calling timeout. I just watched the film just to make sure. And I'm clearly calling timeout. I didn't see if he looked at me in the film, but I could see me clearly calling timeout twice. Yep.
Oh, it's clear as day. You got three officials on the floor. So I get just the two devastating losses, though, for those two teams, but thrilling finishes.
Is it just me, or was Nick Nurse giving off Karen at the local restaurant asking for manager vibes there? Jeez.
Maybe a little with his gold watch.
You're the coach.
Maybe a little.
Call the timeout.
Yeah. So what, does he have to be more emphatic?
Yes. Well, he was pump faking the timeouts.
I think the second time he was trying to be more emphatic, I think he was mad at himself for maybe not on Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry's got to be a little
saying.
Bit. Yeah, maybe
it feels
right.
Very, can I speak to a manager?
Yeah. Yeah. Can I speak to a manager? Can I speak to Commissioner Silver, please? I have a complaint to lodge. But, man, they were it was incredible last night. Plus the hockey playoffs. I was watching. I had some of the Oilers on. They looked great. The Oilers and Kings, it was getting chippy. And do you know Connor McDavid had 5 assists last night?
I did not know that.
Zach Hyman had a Hattie. McDavid had 5 assists. I love this time of year. I had that game on late night. YouTube's doing a nice thing where they're splitting up NHL and NBA games for you so you can
check out both
screen or dual screen. It's great. I love this time of year with all the playoff action. We'll do the Lunch Rush coming up next. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back.
No, no, no.
This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's Home for Sports.
No.
Let's do the Lunch Rush. Sean Graney's in with us today. Adam's off. Adam Abdallah will be back tomorrow. All right, Shawnee, make it a good one. What do we got for the Lunch Rush on this Tuesday?
All righty, guys. Let's start off with something that I thought was pretty interesting. Yesterday, so Adam Schefter, NFL insider for ESPN, tweeted about the 2021 quarterback draft class, and it reads, number 1, Trevor Lawrence, Jaguars. number 2, Zach Wilson, Jets, traded to the Broncos. number 3, Trey Lance, 49ers, traded to the Cowboys. Number 11, Justin Fields, Bears, traded to the Steelers. And number 15, Mac Jones, Patriots, traded to the Jaguars. So, guys, what does this say about drafting a quarterback in the first round, let alone in the top 10? Remember, this draft was in 2021, and 3 out of the 5 quarterbacks went top 5 in that draft.
It says it's hard. And the 83 and 2020 drafts are outliers where you get multiple guys that are really good. In the case of 83, it's all time.
I mean, most of the other drafts, quarterbacks are taken where they should be picked.
I think it speaks to the way the league is trended towards passing and quarterbacks being so important.
There are still times where quarterbacks weren't taken in the first round.
Not many, though, anymore. Can you think of many drafts?
I mean, but that's the point. I mean, I think there's been an over-reliance on wasting a draft choice on a quarterback simply because you want to get a quarterback. And you think you need to hit and be successful, and then your windows for the first 5 years of that rookie's existence, which is absolutely ludicrous.
I think you're right, Yurk. You found drafts in the 80s, a couple of them, where there were no quarterbacks.
No quarterbacks taken in the first round.
So here, I'm going to do this real quick. Let me just count this. So this isn't quarterbacks taken in the first round. This is quarterbacks taken number 1 overall. All right? It's happened 5 of the last 6 years.
Yep.
And 12 of the last 15 years. Not taken in the first round.
First pick overall.
First pick overall. 12 of the last 15 years, a quarterback has been the first pick overall. And there's only one instance, Yerk, in the last 15 years. I'm sorry, two. I don't know. It might be one. It might be one instance where a non-offensive player was taken, and that was... Oh, no, there are two. Okay, so Trayvon Walker as a defensive end and Myles Garrett. Those are the only two non-quarterback slash tackles in, like, the last 15 or 16 years, it looks like, that, you know, we're not offensive players. We're not quarterbacks or tackles. Pretty crazy. All right, what else, Sean?
Alrighty, so yesterday Matt Ryan called it a career and retired a Falcon in Atlanta, penning an open letter to Falcons fans, teammates, thanking them for the 15-year-long career, winning multiple awards, including an MVP, also added a Super Bowl appearance to his resume there. Is Matty Ice a Hall of Famer, guys?
Ooh. Man.
Tough one, Super Bowl appearance.
I mean, the numbers
are out there, you know. The numbers, was he more special than the quarterbacks that he played with?
Yeah, that's they normally say just trust your gut on it, right? My initial reaction is no. Awfully damn close, but I'm going to say no.
How many stats? 60,000 plus yards?
Almost 63,000. But I think you're right. It's hard to look at those in because of the context, you know, with quarterback play now. Like, Matt Ryan was a four-time Pro Bowler in 14 years. One-time All-Pro.
At the age of 31, one-time All-Pro.
Is a one-time All-Pro a Hall of Famer?
Never threw for 5,000 yards.
381 TDs.
He had 330 touchdown seasons.
Man.
Who's his comparables on the bottom? If they're all 70s quarterbacks, it's a problem. Oh, it's not. Marino, Elway, Rivers, Tarkington, Rodgers, Favre, Montana, Eli Manning, Russell Wilson, and Ken Anderson.
That's pretty good. I didn't expect that.
Across the bottom. Yeah.
Who's more likely to be a Hall of Famer? Phillip Rivers, who was never an All-Pro but did go to more Pro Bowls, or Matt Ryan? Who's a more worthy or likely Hall of Famer?
I think you got to give it to Matt Ryan. There,
he's got one MVP.
He did. Phillip Rivers never did that.
One MVP. Quarterback rating. Let me go to the quarterback. 93.6. Career, 93.6.
It's a little less than Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, but I mean, within a margin of error.
So who is it? Who's a more worthy Hall of Famer?
Neither is what I would rather say.
Okay.
Neither. And he runs from 08 to 2022. Roethlisberger's a Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah, he's going to go.
Right, we know that. Manning's Hall of Famer, right?
Yes.
Brady's a Hall of Famer, right? You can't have 27 quarterbacks from one generation in the Hall of Fame. It doesn't work that way.
All right, it was a quick lunch rush today. We got some more fun stuff coming up after 2 o'clock here. Jesse Rogers will join us. A little bit more Bears conversation. Plus, we try to figure out what exactly they're going to announce tomorrow and where they're going to announce their plans. As the Bears are saying, we're all set. We're going to show you the renderings. A new dome stadium is coming. It's Carmen in New York back in 2 minutes.